from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, December the 27th, 2023. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Welcome back after Christmas. Hope you had a great Christmas. Let's get things started with
the Daily Datagram.
Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets, you get to make the call. I like this one here. It says, today's idea of automotive warranty work. I couldn't repair your brakes, so I made your horn louder. Yeah, and for that, you paid an extra $1,500. Let's see if we can gain a little momentum here by moving along to the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted history.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
To be sure.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your twisted history.
So be it.
You might be quizzed.
Well, that's a chance I guess we face every day, right? All right, kids, it was on this day in 1932, Radio City Music Hall, the showplace of the nation, opened in New York City. If you ever go to New York, you must see this place. Take the tour. They do tours through there. It's an amazing piece of Art Deco architecture. A real showplace. And it was on this day in 1968, Apollo 8 splashed down in the Pacific Ocean, ending the first orbital crewed mission to the moon, setting the stage for the moon landing the following summer, which, exciting as it was, really only confirmed that there really wasn't much of anything on the moon.
Get used to disappointment.
Here we are, fresh off the Christmas holidays, and things politically are starting to look like normal. They probably didn't even really let up during the holidays, I guess, if we wanted to be honest. Anyhow, Mick Farthing, writing in Patriot Journal, says that many people have reacted to the Colorado Supreme Court ruling to bar Trump from the state's ballots. And they realize on the other side, the leftist side, that this only helped to strengthen Donald Trump. And of course, Republicans have railed against the decision, accusing the liberal court, which it was. In Colorado, their Supreme Court has 3 Republicans, 4 Democrats. And that ruling went right across party lines. And accusations of interfering with the 2024 election have been thrown at the Colorado Supreme Court. Not too hard to understand. And word has even spread that some of Biden's top staffers are worried that the decision's going to harm the president's reelection message, assuming that the president ever had a message of any kind. Lots of lies, but no real messages. So now mainstream media pundits are weighing in on the decision, and they seem to believe that this controversy is going to be a win for Donald Trump. It should be. Here's something from Fox News. They said several mainstream media outlets published pieces this week arguing that the Colorado Supreme Court's decision to bar former President Trump from the state's primary ballot is a gift to his reelection campaign. Well, it is, if you're going to look at things honestly. So liberal media pundits are worried that the decision is going to be a boost to Trump's campaign in the long run. And the anger generated by this unprecedented move could result in more Americans siding with Trump. You got a lot of Americans out there right now not happy at all with the economy. And you don't have to go very far or wait very long for a reminder about just how bad the economy is. Go to the grocery store. How was your Christmas shopping this year? Did you buy as many gifts as in previous years? Did you buy anywhere near as many gifts as you did during the Trump White House? You know, fair question. So Biden seemingly agreed with the court's decision. He repeated the claim that Trump was guilty of committing insurrection, which he was not. If you honestly look into the definition of insurrection and you look at what happened on January 6th, that was not an insurrection. It was a demonstration that got out of hand, most definitely. But how is that Donald Trump's fault? So now people are urging him to move quickly before it's too late. That is, Biden supporters. They want Biden to move quickly. So Fox News said that a growing number of political commentators and experts are calling for the Biden administration to denounce the Colorado Supreme Court's removal of former President Trump from the 24 ballot, arguing it could be a strong political move for him. In fact, the head of the pack in that was none other than California Governor Gavin Newsom. He denounced the Colorado Supreme Court move, and he did it quite vocally. Again, not a surprise. So pundits are suggesting that Biden needs to denounce the ruling, and they explain that Americans would distrust a Biden 24 victory if Trump was unable to run in every state. So what happens then? If they were successful, if they won't be, but if they were successful, just for sake of argument, in removing Donald Trump from several state ballots, then what? Biden would run unopposed? Don't even dare to dream that. And we've got others suggesting that the more partisan this decision looks, the more it's going to help Trump. And it's taking on the appearance by experts who believe that voters will turn on Biden if it appears that he wants Trump off the ballot. So it's unlikely that Biden's going to condemn this ruling. Really. I mean, if you're looking for any sense of rationality at all behind the lefties, he's not going to denounce it. He spent years accusing Trump of trying to destroy America's democracy. How many times have you heard Biden or anyone aligned with Biden say that, the greatest threat to democracy is MAGA? Huh? No. Given his poor polling and terrible approval, which it is, Biden most likely believes this ruling is only going to help him avoid going up against Trump next year. No, not going to happen. I mean, I really think that Trump is going to be the nominee. I really do believe that. I would be very surprised if it didn't work out that way, because everything is falling into place. This guy, Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, he just had his case blown out of the water. Supreme Court ruling on that. And everything is taking on the appearance now of what it really is. It is election interference. We have become a third world nation. We've become a banana republic. And now it's actually starting to look that way. And that's the first, most important step toward getting the voters to realize what's really happening. In a big win for President Trump, the Supremes have declined to fast-track the January 6th case concerning his claim of presidential immunity. And this decision is seen as a setback for Jack Smith, who had been pushing for an expedited review in this very high-stakes legal battle over the 2020 election interference allegations. Trump took to the social media again on his Truth Social to express his satisfaction with the ruling, asserting his right to presidential immunity and criticizing the efforts to rush the case through the courts. Now, he labeled the actions of the special counsel as a desperate attempt to short-circuit our great Constitution. That was his quote, maintaining that it was perfectly within his rights and duties as the president at the time to address the concerns over the 2020 presidential election. Nobody could really argue with that. Nobody with a healthy mind. So the Supreme's unanimous decision not to expedite the case means that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit is now going to take up the matter. The appellate court has already set an expedited review with arguments scheduled for early January, just days before the Iowa caucuses. So this just means the development could potentially delay Trump's federal election interference trial, originally slated to start, March 4th? The delay might push the trial closer or even after the November 5th general elections. And that's where Trump is seeking a rematch, of course, with Joe Biden. I still don't think Biden's going to make it to that point, but I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, once or twice. Anyhow, the timing of the trial has become a critical factor as Trump remains a frontrunner for the Republican presidential nomination. But this has also had Trump, just by virtue of being who he is and the kind of a person he is, a bombastic personality, he's also gotten the attention of some interesting people, even people I don't agree with. I have no love whatsoever for Minister Farrakhan of the Black Muslim Organization, Louis Farrakhan. That guy really troubles me. He really does. No fan of this guy. But he was on a radio program recently. I'm trying to remember the name of the program. I think this was in Atlanta. I may be wrong. But anyhow, here's what Louis Farrakhan had some interesting words to say about Donald Trump.
The nature of this administration is good for us. Because of Trump's way, he is an anomaly. There's never been no president quite like Mr. Trump. There's something that he's doing. Trump is destroying every enemy that was an enemy of our rise. Who's the enemy of our rise? Is it the Department of Justice, where we get none? Is it Congress, where you make a law that favors us and then you turn around and destroy it? Is it the media that has destroyed every black leader that stood up for us? Martin Luther King suffered it. Malcolm suffered it. He's attacking the media. Calls it fake news. We have been the victims of some fake news.
Yes.
He's beating up the FBI. Go at it, baby. Yeah. They've been beating the hell out of us ever since J. Edgar Hoover and the count.
Oh, yeah, that was his point there about the FBI being so corrupt. And I think it's kind of interesting that we on the right didn't realize how corrupt the FBI was until they started acting out against us. Innocent mothers and fathers showing up at school board meetings, being labeled by the FBI as domestic terrorists. Well, okay, maybe not directly by the FBI, but by virtue of and by default through the DOJ. So the Supreme Court's decision not to provide reasons for their action, nor to note any dissenting opinions or recusals, leaves a lot of speculation. Notably, Justice Clarence Thomas has faced calls for recusal from January 6th related cases because of his wife's involvement in communications regarding the 2020 election. That's nothing new. I mean, that has been mentioned a time or two since the 2020 election. And despite this victory, Trump's legal challenges are really far from over. I mean, just the way things are now, not to mention what's coming in the future, because the other side is going to keep trying and trying and trying to disqualify Trump from this election. He faces tons of other legal proceedings, including the Stormy Daniels case in New York. That's not over yet. That's set to go to trial March 25th. I think he's going to win that one. He's also got charges related to concealing national security documents at Mar-a-Lago. That's not over yet. And these ongoing cases continue to add confusion, certainly complexity to Trump's political and legal landscape. And then you got this special counsel, Jack Smith, who's accused Trump's legal team of attempting to delay the federal election interference trial until after the presidential election. But see, Trump's lawyers have countered, arguing that the special counsel's request to bypass the normal appellate process was a rush to decide the issues with reckless abandon, quoting the legal team. So, as the legal saga unfolds, Trump supporters, like us, view the Supreme Court's recent decision as a vindication of Trump's claims of immunity and a reinforcement of the constitutional principles. And that's our last stop right there before we start treading on the Constitution. It's the Supreme Court. The outcome of the appellate court's review is, of course, anxiously being awaited. How about that? As it's going to have significant implications for Trump's legal and political future. And then, of course, by default, our future, yours and mine. Michael Snyder is a political writer. He's a guy with a law degree, a couple of law degrees, I think. Or he's got a law degree and a specialty. And pretty well educated. This guy looks at the world around him. Used to live in Washington, D.C., and he couldn't stand the sewage in that city. So he and his wife took their kids and moved out into the boonies somewhere. I have no idea where he lives. He just lives in a very remote area, and he writes books. And thanks to the internet, he's trying to change the world. He has a pretty deep faith in God. But give an example of some of the stuff he writes. Here are headlines from earlier articles that he's written. This year, Americans have become hungrier, lonelier, and more desperate. Have you ever wondered why there's an endless river of sewage coming out of Washington, D.C.? This is why a war between the United States and China is inevitable. Has a silent depression already started in the United States? What happens when you add millions of desperate illegal aliens to a nation that's already become a powder keg? Those are the titles of articles that he's written just within the last month. Actually, just the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, you know, this guy is a bit of a sourpuss, I would say. Doesn't mean he shouldn't be listened to. And here's an article that he filed just yesterday, the 26th. He said the war in the Middle East that began in 2023 is going to go to an entirely new level in 2024. He says fighting along Israel's northern border has escalated significantly in recent days, and this is causing a great deal of concern. Yeah, well, I can imagine. In fact, my primary concern is, yep, what do you want to bet the good old USA is going to find a way to get involved in that? But he continues. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has publicly stated that he plans to finish the conflict in the south before dealing with Hezbollah, but he may not have a choice in the matter. Hezbollah forces continue to fire at targets in northern Israel, and the IDF continues to carry out strikes in response. In fact, it's being reported that the IDF just attacked a Hezbollah military headquarters in Lebanon. The IDF says fighter jets have hit a Hezbollah military headquarters in Lebanon in response to attacks on northern Israel today, including one that left a soldier moderately wounded. The IDF also says it carried out artillery shelling at a number of areas near the border today, presumably to foil planned Hezbollah attacks. Several projectiles were fired from Lebanon at areas in northern Israel, with the IDF saying it struck the launch sites. Meanwhile, we're being told that an IDF airstrike on Damascus has killed a senior Iranian military commander. There's another news source here that he doesn't identify. It says a senior officer in Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps was killed in an alleged Israeli airstrike in the Syrian capital of Damascus, according to Iranian media reports. Razi Mousavi was killed during an attack by the Zionist regime a few hours ago in Zainabia, a district in the suburbs of Damascus, according to the IRNA news agency. That's an Iranian news agency. And the Iranians are obviously furious about this. Of course, they're furious about everything. Anytime that you get any reports or any statements out of Tehran, they're always angry in nature. And I've often wondered, what in the world are these people so pissed off about all the time? I mean, there's a cultural sickness going on there. The Iranian people aren't like that. Have you seen the way Iranian Americans live? They're a jovial, industrious people. But the radical Islamists who are controlling Iran these days, polar opposites. Anyhow, we're getting off the path here. So Michael Snyder writes, we're much closer to a point of no return than most people realize. Even before this military commander was killed, the Iranians had become a lot more active, which is true. On Saturday, the U.S. blamed the Iranians for a drone attack on a chemical tanker in the Indian Ocean. And then he cites another news site here. I wish he would identify them. But this news release says the U.S. has accused Iran of being behind a drone attack on a chemical tanker in the Indian Ocean. The attack on the Chem Pluto on Saturday resulted in a fire, though no casualties were reported. Though Iran has not commented on the attack, the U.S. military said the one-way attack was delivered by a drone fired from Iran. And then Snyder continues, subsequently, the Iranians actually threatened to shut down the entire Mediterranean Sea. Then another news source here says, Iran threatened Saturday that the Mediterranean Sea could be closed if the U.S. and Israel continued crimes in Gaza. The Iranian government has showed support for the military or the militant group Hamas in its war against Israel, while the U.S. has strongly backed Israel, despite growing criticism of the Israeli military's war effort. Which, pardon me for jumping in here, but I don't understand this. Are the American people on the street really that ignorant? Well, they are. Jay Leno has proved that time and time and time again back when he was on The Tonight Show. The American people really are naive because they choose to be. They don't want to get involved in that. How many times have you entered a group of people in like the coffee room at work and entered into a group of people standing around talking and they willingly wanted to talk politics? Nah, it's not going to happen. People avoid that. You know, you want to lose friends, talk about politics or religion. That'll do it. Now, of course, the Israelis have no intention of ending their campaign in Gaza. They can't. They must defeat and eliminate Hamas. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, it may take months for the IDF to finish their work in the south. They said the Israeli military says it could take months to assert control over a key city in southern Gaza as Hamas guerrilla tactics are causing casualties to mount among Israeli troops. At least 16 Israeli soldiers were killed across Gaza over the past 3 days as the military is now focusing on killing Hamas leaders and dismantling its extensive tunnel network. So Snyder continues by saying, once the war in the south is finished, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that the IDF will push Hezbollah north of the Litani River. Hezbollah will never pull back to the Litani River willingly, and so a catastrophic conflict between Israel and Hezbollah is coming. It's just a matter of time. But even if Hamas and Hezbollah could be completely wiped out, the truth is that the threat of radical Islam will not go away. Thanks to our very foolish politicians, I like the way you put that. You know, not mincing any words. Thanks to our very foolish politicians, millions of Muslims have been brought into the U.S. in recent years, and some of them are extremely radical. And he's right. For example, a jihadist that's located in Michigan is calling for a global jihad against the infidel West. Ahmad Musa Jibril, he's a Michigan Islamist preacher, has called on American Muslims to wage jihad against the infidel West and declared Muslims in the U.S. should start normalizing jihad. And then there was an X account associated with this radical imam where he shared several clips, including one that labels Joe Biden a terrorist for his administration's policy toward Israel. And to quote him, he says, "You've seen that senile pharaoh of our time. He has lost his mind of everything except his loyalty and support for Jewish occupiers is more to blame for the genocide in Palestine than the occupying Jews. Yes, there is holy war in Islam. It is jihad. This may be a surprise to many who grew up in the West, especially those who were born or grew up post 9/11, because of the growing number of hypocrites who are spreading the American Zionist Islam, and it has nothing to do with Islam. That version of Islam is and Islam that suits the enemies." Again, this is just a direct quote of that screwball imam up there in Michigan. He says, if you can't raise your child telling him you want him to be mujahid and martyr, then you are the root of the problem. And then Snyder makes a very important note here in his article. He says, sadly, he, meaning this imam, is far from alone. Now, we're talking about radical Islamists, radical Muslims who are here in the United States on our sovereign soil right now. And why are they here? Because of our open southern border. Now, who was behind this? Was Joe Biden behind this? Not really. Barack Obama is behind this. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. And Snyder says here, in fact, radical Muslims have essentially taken over significant portions of the state of Michigan at this point, and they have. And notice he said radical Muslims. And in New York City, a prominent Jewish rabbi was just told to kill himself by a group of radical Muslims that included an 11-year-old girl. So it's becoming a more dangerous country to live in. A Muslim family aggressively accosted a prominent rabbi in New York City's Times Square, telling him to kill himself if he has a problem with a free Palestine. Now, the video was taken, and it's gone viral, captured the family's smirking demeanor as a young girl claiming to be 11 years old and from Canada delivered the message. She said, if you have a problem with Free Palestine, kill yourself. She says this to a man on the camera. Yeah, go ahead. You can't do anything about it because I live in Canada. You want me to kill myself because I'm Jewish? You want Jews to die? The rabbi asked the girl, and the girl replied, yes, go ahead. So they're literally teaching their kids that anyone who doesn't submit to Islam needs to be wiped out. And according to Google, there are currently 1.8 billion Muslims in the world. That's almost a quarter of the entire global population. Needless to say, they're going to play a major role, says Michael, in the period of unprecedented chaos that's coming to our planet. So this war in the Middle East won't be the end of the story. Instead, it'll be just the beginning. Again, I caution you that Michael Snyder is kind of a doomsday writer. He's got a firm belief in God. He's not a dumb man, but this is his thing. He writes a lot of doom and gloom articles and books. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't listen to him. I don't know about you, but I think it's time to lift everybody's spirits. Let's do that with a laugh or two to the Comedy Corner with Rex Havens.
Flew into Salt Lake City and drove down here. That on the highway, that's the most mysterious time for me. Trying to keep track of that world around you. How do you keep track of all those car names that are out there? Hundreds of different car names. How am I supposed to keep those all straight? Some cars don't have a name. All they've got is a number. That never made sense to me unless you're trying to get the biggest number. I'll give you an example. Mazda's got a 2. They got a 3. They got a 5. They got a 6. Oldsmobile had an 88 and a 98. Chrysler's got a 200 and a 300. Mazda had a 323. Ford had a 500. Mazda had a 626 and a 929. Pontiac had a 1,000. Audi's got a 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Pontiac had a 6,000. Saab had a 9,000. Nissan just said, to heck with it. Now they make an Infiniti. Top that. Chrysler Mitsubishi's little nuts. They got a Vision, an Eclipse, and a Mirage. A Vision, which is really something to look at. An Eclipse, that's something you shouldn't look at. Mirage, something you're not even really looking at. Is that your car? I think so, but I've been fooled before. I don't know. I'm a little nervous about that. They have cars named for the heart of the big city all the way on out to the sticks. For the inner city, Metro, a little further out. Suburban, further out still, Town Car. One that can't decide, Town and Country. Further out, they got the Villager. Beyond that, they got the Forester. Beyond the Forest, they got the Frontier. Beyond the Frontier, the Yukon, the Denali, the Tundra, and the Outback. And way the heck out there, Mercury and Saturn. Plymouth made a Reliant. I had one. They call it that because it made you reliant on public transportation, by golly. That was a... Can the cars do what their names sound like they can do? And if they can, I guess they can do a lot of different things. Get one that does what you need doing. If you're going someplace and there are no roads, get a Pathfinder or a Trailblazer. If nobody's ever been there before, you'll need a Discovery or an Explorer. If you're a little bit lonely, get yourself an Escort. Yeah. Or maybe an Amigo or a Sidekick. You know, shop around a little bit. Get the car based on the kind of trip you want to take. You want to take a short trip, get a Sprint. Get a longer trip, a journey. A hopeful trip, get a Quest. A long, hard trip, an expedition or an excursion. And if you want to stay away for years, get an Odyssey. Get the car based on how you're feeling. You know what I'm saying? Your mood at the time. If you want to be daring, get a Venture or an Intrepid. If you want to be a gentleman, get a Gallant. If you want to go overseas, pick up a Passport. If you can't concentrate, get a Focus! If you have a large protruding navel, get an Audi. You know, come on. If you like to stay in shape, get a Fit. If you've sort of let it slide, get an Avalanche. If you got a score to settle, get an Avenger. If your batteries are low, pick up a Charger. And if you're in a horrible marriage, you might think about an Escape. So.
He's good. Make it a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.